matter of Nancy Holm versus Daniel Perfetti. May we please have appearances of counsel?
Good morning, Justice, Your Honors. Michael Dunn for the defendant, Daniel Perfetti.
Good morning, Ryan Maloon from the Maloon Law Firm for the plaintiff respondent.
Good morning, counsel, and welcome. Mr. Dunn, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. The issue before the court is whether the New Jersey Workers' Compensation Act imposes a legal duty on an insurance broker to advise new members of an LLC of their right to opt in for workers' compensation coverage. The answer to that question, Your Honor, as addressed, Your Honors, as addressed by the legislature in their amendment of the Workers' Compensation Act is no. The Act, in the definitional section at 34.1536, provides for an option to elect to be given to the business entity, not the individual members of the particular entity. And the statutory language on that is clear. It indicates that members of an LLC, number one, who actively perform services on behalf of, in this instance, the LLC, shall be deemed an employee of the business if the business elects to obtain coverage for the individual. So the statute itself is clear in providing that it's the business entity that's required to make the election on behalf of its individual members. There are certain restrictions and obligations or restrictions and requirements for that to happen. It can only happen at the renewal of the policy. It can only happen if all members of the LLC agree to that. So on the initial issue, it would be our position, as agreed to by the trial court, that the obligation or that the opportunity and the option is provided to the entity, not the individual members. Secondly, the notice provisions are required to be contained in the application. The application is provided in this instance by the insurer on a form that is required to be approved by the Commission of Banking Insurance. That's something that the insurance carrier produces, the election form, and that the insurance carrier provides to the insured in renewal packages, and that was what the evidence in this case was. The extent to which the Act would impose an obligation on insurance brokers, first of all, there's no obligation in the statute that the broker make that information known to the insured entity. The statute provides, it is silent on that issue. With respect, however, to whom the notice is to be given, the statute is very clear on that issue in terms of it's to be given to the entity, which is practical because the entity, of course, is the named insured on the policy. The entity pays for the coverage, and the entity is the one that's being afforded this coverage, which is highly statutorily regulated. So for those reasons, and specifically the language of the statute itself, as reflected in the amendment of 2000, on that particular issue, we would contend that the trial court was appropriately granted in making the determination of to whom the legal duty was owed. In this instance, the trial court, we would argue, appropriately found as a legal matter and a legal determination that the duty was owed to the business entity, not the individual members. Happy to address, Your Honor, those issues, the propriety of the trial court's grant of an involuntary dismissal and or the appellate division, which in this instance, the appellate division created what it called a non-waivable legal duty, which it imposed on insurance brokers. That duty, which is admittedly a new legal duty being imposed on insurance brokers, is not warranted either by the statute or the common law, and is impractical under the circumstances to be able to expect an insurance broker, if they are involved, and they're certainly not always involved in procuring this insurance, to be able to, number one, identify all the members of an LLC or a given business organization, which could include individual members. It could include any number of additional new members. It could include new members throughout the pendency or throughout the policy period. It could even include different organizations within the umbrella of any particular business entity that's being insured. So for all of those reasons, we believe that the trial court properly determined that the duty was owed in this instance to only the LLC, that there were no circumstances warranting any expansion of that duty to the individual members, and that the trial court appropriately made the legal determination that no legal duty was owed under the circumstances.
So, counsel, this is a highly specialized technical area. How would a new member of an LLC for a landscaping company or any entity like that come to understand the principles that you began your argument with?
Well, I think there's certainly an obligation within the LLC or the business organization itself to share that information. Here we had the factual information that the owners of the LLC, the majority members of the LLC, were aware of that information, and they were made aware of that information through the insurance broker in this instance.
The insurance broker has no responsibility in that regard. It falls to one of the members of the LLC.
In terms of a legal duty, Your Honor, I don't think that the insurance broker would have a legal obligation under those circumstances to provide that notice under the statute, certainly.
So tell us a little bit more why not. The insurance broker has a fiduciary relationship to procure the insurance. Here, Chris had insurance, lost the insurance when he became a member of the LLC. And were there any efforts that were made to convey to him the technical information that he would have needed to understand?
There were not, Your Honor, by the insurance broker to Christopher in particular. I guess I would take issue, or we would take issue, with the fact that he had the insurance previously when he was an employee. The insurance is provided to the employer, not to its employees. The employees are receiving benefits that the insurer,
He was covered under that insurance.
Pardon?
There was no dispute that he was covered.
That is, while an employee, that's correct.
And that he lost coverage when he became a new member of the LLC.
By operation of law, he was no longer covered, absent the entity of which he was now a member opting in to include both him and all of the other members of the organization at the renewal time, and if all of them agreed to do that.
So why not, looking at the Hopkins factors, impose a duty along the lines of what the appellate division did in this case, which is fairly narrow. It focuses only on advising new members of the availability of workers' comp coverage and the right to avail themselves of it.
In terms of, Your Honor, in terms of fairness, I think, as a Hopkins factor, in terms of imposing a legal duty under those circumstances, an insurance broker would not always know who those new members were or when they became new members, as pointed out by the trial court.
But in this case, he did know. But in this case, defendant did know when Michael and Christopher became new members. As of July 12, 2012, defendant met with Robert, Michael, and Christopher, and he was informed at that point that Christopher and Michael were now new members of Homedale Nurseries, correct?
Yeah, that is correct, Your Honor.
So your argument is that the duty is to the entity. At that point, defendant was made aware of the fact that the composition of the entity, the LLC members, had changed. Why at that point was there not a duty? Was he not obligated to let those new members who had previously been covered by the workers' compensation insurance, to let them know by the way, you're no longer covered as a member of the LLC, and this is what needs to be done if you want to be covered.
I think, Your Honor, that to impose that duty as a general duty beyond this, the circumstances of this case is unwarranted and ought not be an obligation placed on all insurance brokers who are dealing with all types of entities. In this instance, there was trial testimony to the effect that somebody came into a meeting where there was discussion of insurance on an annual renewal basis and said to the effect that they were involved with the company now and they wanted to be covered, quote unquote. There was no discussion of workers and compensation insurance. There was no discussion of whether they wanted to or not be covered for workers and compensation insurance. And I think that with respect to this particular coverage, which is provided to the insurer, that the duty has to be owed or breached to the insured in this instance, which is the entity, not the individual members. Why couldn't he have made them aware of that? I guess that was a factual issue that needed to be decided or could have been decided, but they were not new. The appellate division imposes an obligation to advise new members. In fact, when this fellow was had his workplace incident, or when he was allegedly injured and damaged, died as a result of a workplace accident, he had been a member of the LLC for nearly 3 years. So he wasn't a new member, and frankly, the appellate division opinion wouldn't even apply to him.
So, but it would have applied, if the duty is imposed, the duty would apply to tell a new member at around the time that they become a new member, or, I assume, to inform the LLC, all new members must be told this, find a way to just tell the LLC as an entity that it must tell its new members. I mean, it seems to me that there's a practical way of fulfilling that duty that would not impose a major burden on brokers who are used to dealing with applications and paperwork and notice provisions and so forth in the course of their work.
Yeah, but the statute, Your Honor, doesn't provide that and doesn't obligate them to do that. There's certainly no common law.
It's in the passive voice. Notice that it shall include notice. It doesn't say, it shouldn't say, it's not. It's in the active voice, but it says shall include notice in the application. In the normal practice of insurance brokers versus the actual insurers, who provides the applications to the insureds?
The applications are provided on forms provided by the carrier, on forms that are approved by the Banking and Insurance Commission, that are, I would say, generally filled out by the broker, if there is a broker, with the insured.
Can a broker, and again, I'm not talking about this specific statutory provision, but can a broker provide notice to an insured other than what is approved by DOBE that the insurer will provide? In other words, can the broker say, I think there's something else I think the insured should know, and provide notice?
Can the broker impart the same information through something different, other?
Something additional. In other words, the Department of Banking and Insurance, the commissioner approves what the insurer is going to send out. Is there anything stopping an insurance broker from providing the insured with additional notice on a topic?
Certainly not, Your Honor. If there were a duty to do that, then that could be done.
And you mentioned some of the practical considerations and concerns that you have. Would a plain language piece of paper that says you had coverage as a new member of an LLC, unless the LLC opts in, you will no longer have coverage. Could that be given to the managing director of the LLC for distribution to new members?
Again, assuming there were an obligation to do that, that could certainly, obviously, it could be done. How the broker and how the broker in all those different circumstances that we've made reference to would know, number one. So if you have the duty, and as articulated by the appellate division, a non-waivable duty, then that be, and which of course ignores all of the statute, which provides that no action shall lie against the insurance company or the broker for the failure of the entity to elect this option. So it has to be, I believe, considered in that context of the legislation, which provides a quasi-immunity to both the insurer and the insurance producer, the broker in this instance. But if there is an obligation, that could certainly be done, Your Honor. How the broker or brokers would know that when that happened during the course of the year, if that imposes on them an obligation with their client to get into the business operations of them, how their business entity is structured, we would submit that's a very substantial.
Does the application call for the listing of those who are opting out?
If opting out or opting in.
Either way.
If the entity were to opt in, the individual members of the LLC would have to be identified. The insurance company would then have to endorse the policy to reflect the fact that those individual members had done that. The insurance broker is not in a position to amend the policy to make any determination as to who's covered or not covered. That can only be done by the insurance company, and we think that's a further basis not to impose
that. Doesn't the Adobe form require a listing of all the LLC members with a check mark as to whether they're opting in or opting out?
Does the form require
that they're electing a coverage or they're rejecting coverage?
If they were rejecting coverage, does it require them to identify all the individual members? I don't believe it does, Your Honor.
No.
But I'm not certain on that.
Mr. Dunn, go ahead, please.
Assume for my question that there is a duty to the members. Is there any trial evidence in this case that Purdy caused damage by a willful, wanton, or grossly negligent act?
There was not, Your Honor. And that was certainly an issue that was raised. He had, and that the trial court agreed with, he had notified the majority member of the LLC, in this instance, Robert Friedauer, the father who remained the person both who secured the insurance and was responsible for doing that. There was no evidence in the case other than that he had always wanted and desired not to be covered to save money on his insurance premium. So under those circumstances, we would argue that there was no evidence to support any claim or finding of willful, wanton, or gross negligence.
And Mr. Dunn, following up on that same thought from Judge Fischelli, first of all, do you agree that the definition of willful negligence at the beginning of the statute is the definition that applies to the standard of liability later on expressed about willful or gross negligence, or are they different?
That's that provision question. Of the definitional provision in the statute would seemingly pertain to willful conduct in an employer removing a guard or something of that nature.
Not the broker's conduct. All right. So we look then later in the statute to the standard of care, though, that was inserted, and it talks about willful or gross negligence. What state of facts could support, hypothetically, liability if it's not failing merely to provide the form or the information to the LLC? Under what set of facts would there be liability?
That's a difficult question, I guess, to answer. But my response to that would be, to the extent there's a requirement for willful conduct, that would require that the entity said, we want our individuals to be covered. There is a specific direction to the broker in that instance to provide the coverage, and through some inexplicable conduct that the broker neglects to do that.
Is that realistic? Because the broker has an incentive to earn a commission if they sell more coverage, right?
Right.
So when would this standard ever be triggered?
Well, I think, I mean, that's, it's, you're talking about negligence, willful conduct.
Or gross negligence is also a possibility.
Negligence,
right?
Or gross negligence. The only thing I can think of, Your Honor, is here's the form, here's our money, we want to pay it. And gross negligence would be, I don't know, the guy just didn't do it.
Well, there was, as to Justice Pierre-Louis' point,
there was
a meeting with Michael and Christopher at which a request was made to be protected, insurance protection. Would that rise to the level, at least inferentially, of gross negligence, at least to get to a jury?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. And again, I think it has to go back to, was there gross negligence with regard to procuring this insurance? Was there any discussion with regard to workers' compensation insurance? And on that, the record was clear that there was, the trial court judge certainly pointed that out. There was never any discussion with the decedent where he expressed any desire to be covered for anything. The brother testified at trial that they wanted to be covered. But there was never any indication from any source at trial that the brother had any interest in being covered, that he would have if he were given that information, or that there was any concern or interest or discussion of workers' compensation coverage. So, unless the negligence,
from the point of view of an insured and the reasonableness of the conduct of the broker, insureds sometimes don't understand the difference between workers' compensation or life insurance or other types of insurance that are out there. And I know you dispute the issue as the comment that was made. So I'm not suggesting that, as a matter of fact, that occurred. But if it in fact occurred, coverage from the point of view of a layperson is maybe just a general term saying, find us a way to be covered for injuries here. Does the insured really have to specify the category of insurance that they want?
I mean, I would argue yes. I mean, if he came in and said covered, does that therefore translate to, he had boat, Christopher, the decedent, had boat insurance, motorcycle insurance, and car insurance. Does that, therefore, that we want to be covered give rise to, well, the coverage on my motorcycle was not enough, the coverage on my boat was not enough, the coverage on my house was not enough.
But this is the business that's being just talked about at this meeting. So it's not... it's not the recreational vehicle or the car. It's really, these people are here, they want to be covered. Why wouldn't that be enough for a broker to have an obligation to figure out what it is they need and go from there?
Because, Your Honor, we would argue that the case law in terms of the duty to advise requires some sort of duty to advise, which I guess in that circumstance is the issue, requires some sort of reliance or seeming reliance on in this instance, the insured to have that information or to be, to expect to receive that information.
In a close case, set aside these facts for a moment, but in a close factual case, who would decide whether there was gross negligence?
A jury. If there were a legal duty to act or not act.
And not a determination that we would need to make at this point as a result.
I would agree with that, Your Honor.
Can I go back for a moment to the question of whether to impose a duty? You thoughtfully pointed out a little bit earlier some practical considerations. If you have an LLC with a large number of members and new members enter in the middle of the policy and so on.
Excuse me.
Are there other consequences were the court to impose a duty that are of concern that you'd like to stress?
The consequence beyond imposing the duty on the insurance broker under what we maintain are some...
I'll say it in a different way. Are there other powerful reasons not to impose a duty from that practical standpoint?
beyond the legal concerns with creating a new duty that's contrary to the statute, I don't mean to be evasive, Your Honor. I'm just...
You had identified one particular area of concern. You're not going to know about new members in the middle of a policy.
Right.
Are there similar considerations that you'd like to point out to us that would flow from the imposition of a duty?
I think the management of the LLC is somewhat implicated in terms of they have the right to make that the right and obligation to make that option on behalf to exercise that option on behalf of their individual members. To impose an obligation on the insurance broker to, number one, find out all those members, to find out all those members during the pendency of the policy, and then to then advise them, or I guess you could be in the same circumstance if you advise the person who's making the decisions, in this instance, Robert, well, hey, you've got to tell your sons or the other individual members. And then if he doesn't do that, would that be on the insurance broker, or is the requirement that the insurance broker speak to each individual? So I think those issues on that side of it are difficult and onerous as well.
Are you concerned about a slippery slope aspect of this in the sense that, as I understand it, an insurance broker does not have a general duty to identify in any kind of global way all available insurance that might be helpful or useful or even necessary for a particular insured. Am I correct?
That's correct, Your Honor. I think the cases speak to that.
So in general, there's no duty to analyze this and say there's this, that, and the other, and these different companies offer this various types of insurance, and here they are. This duty would be something of an exception to that general principle.
I think it clearly would be, and it would be a duty that's based on a statute, and therefore, and a duty that's based on language that we would argue was contrary to the statute. So the legislature has spoken on this, and if the legislature had intended to impose that obligation on insurance brokers, that language would presumably have been in the statute, and it's not.
But could that duty be narrowed in a factual circumstance, whereas here, allegedly, the broker had all the members of the LLC present, and it was expressed both in the testimony of Robert and of Michael that Michael said, we all want to be protected, I think was the phrase. So this happens to be a scenario where it's a small, closely held LLC. They're all present. They say they want to be protected. Does that actual knowledge elevate what otherwise would not be an individual duty?
I don't believe, Your Honor, that it should or it ought to. And I think that some of the cases speak to the fact of, you know, you've had the legislature look at this. If there is an expansion of a legal duty, which in this instance would apply to many, many folks on the insurance broker side and many, many entities and many, many individuals on the other side, if there is admittedly an expansion of a legal duty owed by somebody on that end, we would argue that it ought not be as a matter of general principle and imposed on the entire industry, but instead require legislation for them.
And just following up on that, is there a duty on the part of an insurance broker who hears from a client or hears from an insured, here's our business, here's our risk of injury generally, this is what we do, what do we need? What would you advise us to get in terms of insurance? What happens just under the common law duties in the insurance broker setting if there is that kind of communication?
I think that there is certainly a triable issue if there is that type of request made of the broker, and therefore that there's justifiable reliance upon the insured entity in response to that discussion. Obviously, it would involve an inquiry into, okay, you were told this, then what did you do in response? I told them that that's not my job to tell you folks what kind of insurance you need. Well, then obviously we would argue that he or she didn't have that obligation. But I think that is an issue that's factually dependent, with the bottom line being, is there some sort of justifiable objective reliance by the insured in that entity to expect that there should be some advice provided in that regard. And I think that's consistent with the case law.
So in this case, again, has been mentioned numerous times, defendant's at this meeting. He learns that the two sons had become LLC members, and they say, we want to be protected. Is that an instance where that should have triggered for the defendant his advice to these new members of the LLC who, for the first time, are no longer employees and might not have an understanding of what it is to be protected in their new role? I think even in defendant's own trial testimony, he indicated that when he learned that Christopher and Michael were new members of the LLC, one of the first questions he asked was whether they created a new LLC and tried to get more information to understand whether the structure of the business had changed, because from his perspective as an insurance broker, that would trigger additional conversation. So he being the expert, these new LLC members are telling him, we want to be protected. Would that under the common law have triggered advice to them about what that would look like in their new roles?
I think not, Your Honor. Under the statute as it exists under the common law and in the circumstance which, when those individuals are saying we want to be covered, seated right next to them is their father, who was making the insurance decisions, who had all of the information.
But he's not an insurance broker.
He's not, but he knew the information and he made the insurance decisions. So under those circumstances, we would argue that there was no justified reliance on the insureds in that instance.
So the insurance brokers can just assume that the previous members of the LLC will communicate all the information about this complex insurance structure to the new members.
I think that the insurance broker is entitled to rely on the individual making the decisions for the LLC who has that information.
Seems to me that there's a lot of things we're suggesting here that are really factual determinations for a jury, including whether the standard of care required was in fact breached. I just want to come back to the very basics of this. Do you agree that the insurance broker had a fiduciary obligation in this particular case, that the duty essentially is defined by that fiduciary obligation?
I agree that the insurance broker had a fiduciary duty to its client in this circumstance. Yes, Your Honor.
And that goes beyond what the statute requires. There are certain other obligations that a fiduciary would have to its who he's representing, correct?
To act in good faith and fair dealing with its insured. And there's no indication that that didn't happen, frankly.
Not really my question.
I'm sorry.
That's right. Justice Pierre-Louis raised this at the beginning. Forgetting the statute for a minute, which may ultimately control the standard of care required, whether it was breached or not, whether that level of proof has been met. This is a case, sticking solely to the facts of this case, limiting it to the facts of this case, where the broker knew the members, knew the new members. In fact, they had a working relationship over many, many, many years. Forgetting the statute for a minute, as a fiduciary, insurance broker, knowing what's required, what's not required, in the room with dad and two sons, isn't the question of whether he fulfilled his fiduciary obligation to advise new son, dad, that new workers' comp, that workers' comp was canceled for son? Forgetting the statute for a minute, did he have wouldn't it be a jury question as to whether he had an obligation in this limited fact pattern with just these three people in the room, that he had an obligation to tell this new LLC member that he knew was a new LLC member and knew would go from covered to uncovered, that he was now uncovered?
And my response, Your Honor, is that the trial court charged with making that determination determined that that duty should not be expanded to that individual member under those circumstances for good reason.
Didn't he rely on the statute? When he made
Pardon?
He relied on the statute when he made that decision.
The trial court?
Yes.
I do not believe that, Your Honor. I don't believe
that. You just made a general determination as to the fiduciary obligation, irrespective of the statute, of an insurance broker in this limited fact pattern.
The trial court made the determination as, and the court speaks at one point that the plaintiff argues that a duty was owed. The question is to whom the duty was owed. And the trial court appropriately, I think, determined that for workers and compensation insurance, which is bought by the entity for the entity's protection, that the obligation, if any, whatever the obligation is, whatever the knowledge imparted on him, that the obligation is to the insured.
But that's not really my, whether it was dad or the two sons, he's in the room. He knows it's a closely held corporation. There are three participants. Two are brand new. Two are now not covered by workers' comp. Was there an obligation of any kind to tell, not necessarily the two sons, but dad, these guys aren't covered anymore?
We would argue that
I need to argue, but that's right. Really a fact question as to whether that's a duty. And that doesn't depend on the statute, right?
Well, I don't know that that's a fact question that decides for the trial court whether to impose a legal duty. The trial court has to make that determination, and that's their job, is to decide whether under those circumstances, which the trial court observed and heard the testimony of expert witnesses on both sides, and said, okay, you guys came in and you had this discussion, whatever it was, whatever it pertained to, but we, the trial court, find that the duty was not owed to those individual members. So it's I know it's kind of circular.
Your point there is that it's the court's determination as to whether there's a duty, and ultimately, if there's a duty found, it's the jury's determination as to whether there's a breach of that duty.
Certainly.
As well as proximate cause and damages.
Right.
Okay, and that's not really what my question was. The legal duty will be a determination of the court. The fiduciary duty of the broker, I'm not going to prolong this, believe me. This is my last question. The fiduciary duty of the broker to the insured, let's say in this case it's dad. He's the key guy. If the fiduciary duty that was found not to exist by the trial court, I thought it was under the statute, or maybe not under the statute, but was as to the two sons or the son who would have a claim, theoretically. I'm just asking, would that question as to whether he had an obligation, knowing the nature of this entity, knowing the three family participants, to tell dad, you got these two new guys in here, they're not insured for workers' comp purpose anymore. And if the answer is there is a duty, then whether that duty was discharged or not would be a factual question.
If there is a duty, Your Honor, yes.
And understand, yes, I'm not saying as to the two young
understand.
Men. I'm talking about as to dad.
Right. That's if. Right.
Other questions, anyone? Is there anything you'd like to add, Mr. Dunn?
No.
Thank you, Your Honors. From the plaintiff's perspective, there are actually two duties on the part of Purdy that were breached here. The first one was the failure to advise when they were faced with an inquiry from Chris and Michael during this 2012 meeting, where they asked, we want to be protected now that we're members of the LLC. Or if you take Purdy's testimony on this same exact point, he says that they asked him, what do we do now that we are members of the LLC? And remember, the meeting they had in 2012, the context was insurance. It was an insurance meeting, and the LLC members are asking to be protected, and the broker himself admits that they were asking, what do we do now that we're LLC members? That should have been a trigger to Purdy to say, okay, you are members of an LLC, and you are no longer covered by comp. If you want comp coverage, you're going to need to opt in. And by the way, here's the form that you have to provide, you know, that I need to provide you in order for you to do so. That was the obligation of Purdy in connection with this meeting. He was faced with an inquiry after a long-standing relationship, and under Aiden v. Forch, as a fiduciary, he has a duty to advise. And he's asked the specific question, and the undisputed testimony is that he never advised. He was faced with the question and did nothing. Never explained workers' comp, never explained the opt-in, and in fact, never provided the form. The policies that were produced in this case as part of discovery didn't include the notice. The applications didn't include the opt-in form. So Purdy not only didn't comply with the statute, which as we briefed is evidence of negligence as well, he also failed in his fiduciary duty to advise when faced with a specific inquiry about coverage. Now, dealing with the statute itself, you can see from the language that you have to provide the notice. It's a shall provide the notice. And the notice itself shall explain to
who has to provide the notice, counsel?
I think from a practical standpoint, it's the broker that has to provide the notice. I think the
Then why is it that is it consistent with your experience that insurers go to the Department of Banking and Insurance to get approval for this language?
That's right. That's right, Your Honor. So the insurers will get the language approved. And then the actual, from a practical standpoint, the application will be provided by the broker to their client or the policyholder. So the broker is acting as that intermediary between the carriers and the client, and they're the ones that provide the application. And I think that's why the statute doesn't just deal with insurance carriers and providing notices within the policy. The statute says insurance producers as well as insurance carriers.
You agree with your adversary that it's that interaction with Dobie is insurers.
That's correct.
Brokers. So when the statute addresses that approval process, it's directed at insurers.
Right. The form of the language that needs to be included in the notice.
Let me ask you a general question. I think it's been hinted at a little bit in the course of the questioning here. You are not taking the position that insurance brokers have a general duty to provide LLC members or really insureds generally with the long list of available types of insurance that they might want to consider buying.
That's correct, but I do believe that.
Okay, let me pause
okay,
there.
Sorry.
Okay, I'm going to get to another question.
Sure.
Right there. Here, my concern, I'll be frank with you, is that in imposing a general duty, I know you've talked about the specifics of this case and a conversation that as a matter of common law, may give rise to a duty. We're talking about that conversation. But we have a bigger issue here, and that is the imposition of a duty to inform LLC members upon all insurance brokers, no matter what their contacts are, whatever their experience is, if they touch this particular relationship or are a part of it, they have a duty to inform LLC members, even if there are hundreds of them, of a particular fact. You see what I'm getting at here?
I do, Your Honor.
What is it that differentiates the duty that the appellate division found from the myriad of duties across the board that insurance brokers, that might be imposed on insurance brokers to tell LLC members or clients or insureds generally about available insurance? The only thing I can see here is the statute. Do you see what I'm getting at here?
Yes.
So are you saying that the key element here is the statute that defines the duty?
For our purposes, for this particular case in this factual situation, the statute is a separate issue. I think there can be a breach by Purdy given the factual situation in this case because there was a meeting, because there was...
Let me ask it a different way. Leaving aside the particular facts that you're alleging occurred in this case that may or may not have given rise to a duty in this specific case, okay? Why is it that insurance brokers should have a duty to provide this specific category of information when even I think you agree, they don't have a general duty to provide insureds or their LLC members, if they're an LLC, with available insurance that might be good for them?
Right, and I think the statute is key on that point, because the statute requires the providing of the notice. But from a practical standpoint, when a company is getting workers' comp insurance, if let's say, for example, it's an LLC, we'll stick to an LLC, the LLC members are listed in connection with the workers' comp or seeking workers' comp coverage, because the carrier needs to know, okay, here's the LLC members, these ones aren't covered, and then there's also a list of employees, and the employees are covered and their salaries, et cetera, are taken into consideration for premium, et cetera. So from a practical standpoint, the broker and then eventually the carrier is going to have all those details that, Your Honor, that you were worried about. Well, why do I have to tell all these members?
Come back to the legal question that sure. I think Justice Patterson was asking. Are you relying for the imposition of a duty on the statute, on the common law, on both? What is it that you're grounding your argument in favor of a legal duty on?
The primary argument from our side is the common law, because I think under Aiden v. Forch, there's the duty to advise, there's this fiduciary relationship, and you had a situation where Chris and Michael and Robert were in a meeting to discuss insurance, specifically asked.
Yeah, leaving that aside, though, but what you, in response to the Chief's question, you cited a fiduciary relationship, and you talked about a duty. So I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking that is a pretty expansive rule. I mean, you're now saying the statute's not key. There's a fiduciary relationship and a relationship of broker to insured give rise to this duty. And what my practical concern is that there are really no clear parameters to that in the real world, as brokers deal with all kinds of people and all kinds of businesses.
That's true, Your Honor. However, in this particular situation,
we had a conversation.
Okay. Now,
okay. So what I'm getting at is the limiting principle this conversation, or is there something some principle by which the duty you are seeking here in the appellate division recognized could be limited, or would it be expanded to a general duty on the part of brokers to inform individuals or businesses in which they're in a fiduciary relationship, you need this particular coverage?
No, it wouldn't apply to every possible type of coverage that a broker could potentially recommend. The reason, because there, as it relates specific to the statute, there's no specific statute saying that a broker has to advise about any coverages.
So the statute has got to be key to your argument, unless you're really here telling us there should be this general duty.
I'm not arguing for a general duty to advise. What I'm arguing about is two things. Number one, the statute, which was indisputably breached by Purdy by failing to provide the appropriate forms and the notices of election. That's one issue, and a potential, the possibility for a finding of negligence. The separate issue is much more narrow, which is when a broker is faced with a specific inquiry and has the familiarity that the broker had in this particular case, that creates the relationship between the broker and the client in which he's required to advise. Aiden v. Forch says you have to provide advice. So you're faced with an inquiry.
Okay.
And
I'm going to ask just one more question, Chief. I just want one more. There are all kinds of statutes that provide insurance, that state that insurance coverage is available. Our statute books and regulations are full of them, okay? What about this statute makes that different from all of those other statutes and regulations that define available insurance?
Well, I unfortunately can't comment on every single statute,
but
I think
I'm looking for a limitation here that, and for you to articulate a limitation on what you're saying.
There are a couple of different limitations. First of all, the statute and the availability of the workers' comp coverage only applies to LLC members who are actively performing services on behalf of the LLC. So they're essentially acting as employees, as they're members of the LLC. So the statute doesn't say you have to inform every single LLC member, no matter the case, that there's a possibility that you can opt in, because they can't opt in. The statute limits what they can do, and it's only those LLC members who are essentially engaging like they're employees, they're performing on behalf. If you're just a LLC member that happened to put in a percentage and you're a part owner of the LLC, but you don't do anything else, you're not covered by the statute. So there is some limitations in here. The other part is the statute specifically requires that these notices are included in the application, which, as I mentioned before, comes from the broker. So the broker has that duty. I don't think we can, the statutory language is pretty clear, or is clear, that the broker has the duty, or the application must include this notice. So then the statute goes on and says, the coverage is not going to be in place unless that form comes back and is filed with the broker or the carrier. So the question becomes then, what happens next? And I think that's the key inquiry. The broker gets this form and has an obligation then to provide it to make sure that the coverage is in place. So there are limitations in this particular statute that dictate how the relationship is supposed to work and how the coverage is supposed to be put in place.
As to the interplay between the statute and the common law duty, can the statute, in particular the notice provision, inform?
I think in this case, if, let's say, the statute was complied with, if, for example, the notice was provided per the statute, the notice of election was provided per the statute, then the statute governs the relationship and says, look, we complied with the statute, we gave you the notice you required, now the only way you can hold me responsible is if there's a gross negligence, willful misconduct, etc. So I think if the statute was complied with, it informs the duty. And I think it changes the fact. I think there's still a fiduciary duty, there's still an inquiry, but in this particular context, the broker would have complied with his obligations to say, here's the notices that are required per statute, I gave them to you. And what you did with them, that'll be a different factual scenario, but then I think the duty is governed by the statute. Because in this instance, the statute was never complied with. The statute, the fact that it was breached, I think goes towards a showing of negligence, but we don't trigger those other provisions related to the duty and the gross negligence and those obligations in this particular case because the statute was never complied with. It wouldn't make sense to provide this gross negligence, willful misconduct protection to a broker that never complied with the fundamental obligations in the statute, which is to provide these notices and elections of coverage.
Counsel, sure. Doesn't Governor Whitman's conditional veto message signal that the statute is intended to displace the common law with respect to this one question of providing notice? If you look at the language of it, it imposes the obligation, but then the governor also said she recommends the application contain a statement which exempts insurers or producers, blah, 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 unless there's willful, wanton, or grossly negligent conduct. So doesn't that, and then that was adopted by the legislatures, doesn't that signal the common law ordinary negligence standard is not applicable with regard to a failure to provide or inform regarding the coverage?
I would argue that if there's compliance with the statute, then yes. If you provide the notice, then yes. But Governor Whitman also said the purpose of including in the application was to ensure that LLC members were provided the notice. So in her comments, she said, look, I want to make these, it's not just about the policy, I want to include this notice in the application as well, because I want to make sure that these LLC members know about their rights. So I think you're right, Your Honor. If you comply with the statute, then it governs, and you're subject to the gross negligence, et cetera, and the protections it affords. If you don't comply with the statute, I think that makes more sense. You don't comply with the statute, you don't get the protection. And in our situation, we have, it's indisputable, the evidence, the documents, et cetera, there was no compliance with the statute, so we switched to the common law and the fiduciary duty.
I thought there was a dispute as to whether the notice had in fact been provided, but no dispute that it had never been filled out and returned or checked and returned or whatever.
There was no evidence that the notices were actually provided, and there were no documents that were produced that showed the notices were provided. And the testimony was, we were given these notices after. Once this tragedy happened, then these notices were, oh, by the way, you were supposed to fill out these forms. That was the first time that those notices were provided to Homedale Nurseries and, of course, the new members, which at the time was Michael and now Nancy Holm, assuming the role of Chris, who had died.
And the notice you're talking about includes a listing of the members who are opting in or opting out?
Right, so the notice has a lot of the statutory language at the top, and at the bottom there's a space to fill in, and it would be LLC member, and you'd fill in the name and you'd check the box.
It says all partners, right? Not just those who are actively engaged in the business, but it's everybody who's a member, right?
In order to trigger elect coverage, every member of the LLC has to elect the coverage.
Well, that's correct. The form isn't set up that way. It says always list everybody regardless of whether you're opting in or opting out, right?
Right, but what I'm saying is in order for the coverage to go into effect, the only way that it would go into effect, particularly as the statute requires, is if all the members elect to get the comp coverage.
So is there a duty of consultation, though, by the broker with every member that would have to be listed on the form, an individual duty, as you've argued?
I think under the statute, the notice has to be provided. In the form that it's provided, under the statute, they have to include that information, let the LLC members know, or the LLC know, that they have the right to elect. And of course, again, it's limited by the fact that they have to be employees actively performing for the LLC.
Is it your argument that the failure to obtain that from the LLC is willful gross negligence?
No, I mean, I don't think I would say that that's willful gross negligence, Your Honor. I mean, from my perspective.
There's a plain requirement in the statute that that be executed. To place workers' comp insurance, the clear absence of it would seem like a willful or grossly negligent act, no?
I think I'll change my mind, Your Honor, yes. Yes, it is a grossly negligent act. Certainly, when you have a statute like this that has a mandatory requirement and you're not complying with the mandatory requirement. But I think for our purposes, in addition to that, our argument is that the gross negligence standard doesn't apply because there was no compliance with the statute. You have the fiduciary standard, the regular negligence standard as it relates to this particular factual situation.
That's the way you tried the case, no gross negligence. You introduced no evidence of gross negligence.
Well, actually, we weren't sure which way the court was going to go on whether it was going to be gross negligence or negligence. From our perspective, when you're faced with a specific inquiry, and you're asked about this particular, not this particular issue, but you say, I want to be protected, I'm a new member of an LLC. That triggers an obligation, in our view, on the part of the broker to explain and give you the opportunity to elect into the coverage. From our point of view, that can support gross negligence. The way that I like to think about it is if you're swimming on a beach and the lifeguard sees you drowning and goes out to try and save you but makes a mistake, that's negligence. If a lifeguard sees you drowning and just says, I'm going to do nothing, you'll be fine. That's gross negligence. So in this case, we had a situation where the broker was faced with these inquiries but didn't do anything about it and, of course, admitted that he knew. He knew that as of 2000, the statute was changed in 99. He knew then 2000 that there was a change. He said he had gotten multiple inquiries from his clients about how this works, and he was well aware that LLC members had to opt in. He admitted this. He knew. So in from our perspective, that I think rises to the level of gross negligence. And at the trial, we weren't sure whether or not the ultimate standard was going to be gross negligence or negligence. So our point of view is let's prove the higher standard with whatever facts we have. And if you prove gross negligence, you've covered negligence as well.
If there is a duty on the broker to advise new members about coverage, does it apply in the case of a new member who joins in the middle of the policy and that information is not known to the broker?
No, because, again, the statute deals with that as well. The adding of new members only happens at renewal. So what would happen in your scenario, Your Honor, is if an LLC member is midway through, when it's time for the renewal, then at that point in time, again, assuming they comply with the actively performing duties on behalf of the LLC, so they fall under the statute, if they come on board in the middle at renewal time, that's when the duty would kick in. We'd say, all right, you have a new member of the LLC, here's the notice. And I think the other part of this, and kind of switching gears for a second, hopefully that answered your question, but I think the duty runs not just to the LLC, and I'm talking more about the common law duty. Because in Carter Lincoln Mercury versus Emar Group, this court held that the duty of a broker to advise goes beyond, or the duties of the broker, the fiduciary duty, goes beyond just the potential policyholder. It goes to potential claimants, people that may be covered under the policy. So in this instance, you had a new LLC member who was covered by comp and then became an LLC member, no longer covered by comp. So even if Purdy had to just advise the LLC, by the way, you guys are no longer covered just under the standard fiduciary duty, as a potential claimant, Chris was a potential claimant under comp, that duty extended to him through the Carter, Lincoln, Mercury case as well. So I think the obligations of Purdy here under the common law are a lot, extend further than the trial court allowed, and the appellate division recognized that.
Other questions? Anything you'd like to add?
That's it, Your Honors. Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. We'll take the matter under advisement.